Well, we continue our study in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 6 finally. We made it to the last chapter. Just the first three verses this time. This is Ephesians 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. And hear now the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. As far as the reading of God's word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would write your word upon our hearts, even as you have promised, that your spirit would descend upon us, that your word would be sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, that you would lead us into the gospel. Pray, Lord, that you would especially be with the covenant children as they hear the word of God. Pray that you would prepare their hearts to receive the truth as it is in Jesus, and that they too may find their rest and their joy and their strength in him. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look closely at the text that we're preaching on today, to whom is Paul speaking? The very first word is children. He's speaking to the children at the church in Ephesus. He's speaking to them directly. So if Paul is speaking directly to the children, to whom should I be preaching my sermon today? I should be preaching to the children. So I'm going to be attempting to preach to the children. But when I say that, all of you have something in your mind. Well, I think a child, and a 10-year-old pops up in your mind, perhaps. Aren't you all children? We're all somebody's child, right? And in some sense, the fifth commandment still applies to every one of us. We are to honor our father and our mother. But I'm going to be targeting perhaps a little lower audience than normal. I'm going to be speaking directly to the covenant children. So, children, this sermon is for you. Maybe this is a little bit role reversal. I want you to listen really carefully, and I want you to make sure that your parents don't fall asleep. I want you to make sure that they're listening too. Paul here has been talking about the family of God, and how God the Father has gathered His family to Himself, how He has caused them to be born again, and He has collected them as part of His own family. But He's also telling us through His Word how different this family is than any other family on earth, how different this family is than any other society, than any other group of people on earth. He's describing how radically different His family is. And this family of God that you are a part of as a covenant child. He's been talking about how he has chosen them, how He has saved them, and therefore they become a new creation. All of His children become new creatures as He lays His fatherly hand of blessing upon the children. They're different. They are genuinely blessed. They are genuinely changed. They are set apart at baptism, and they are nourished and nurtured by the Word of God. You, as children, you have been fed the Word of God since you were a child. You've been told about Jesus. You've been told about the gospel, about the good news, about forgiveness. You are nurtured and nourished by the Word of God, and you are, even as children, you are showered with love. And it's not just the love of parents or the love of siblings, but it's, in some sense, the love of God. You are part of His family as well. So He begins to change us, and we begin to look at life differently because we are nurtured upon divine truth. We are accepted, and we are forgiven, and we are filled with the Spirit, and we begin to serve one another in love. If we could describe God's family in one word, it would be a loving family. I guess that's two words. But it's a family of love. And Christ has made us Christ-like lovers of all mankind. That's the one unique thing that God has made about His church. We have the capacity, we have the ability, and we even have the command to love everyone, even our enemies. So God's love has been given to us so that we might share it with the world. You see, God's family is always growing. It is always growing. There are more people who have the lights go on and they begin to see and sense and experience the love of Christ for the first time. They begin to hear the gospel. But then he has been talking here, and he will a little bit further, about the rules for the family. There are always, in every family, there are rules for the family. Just as Jesus had submitted in love to his Father, so he calls all of us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, they are to submit to their husbands. And in one sense, the husbands are to submit by loving their wives. And now we come to another one. Children, you are to submit to God by loving and obeying and honoring your parents. But I want to try to take you back some 2,000 years to what life was like as a child in the Roman Empire. If you were born then, what would be different? One thing, there's no air conditioning. Did you know that? 2,000 years ago, there's no air conditioning. There's no Coca-Cola. There's no double-stuffed Oreos. There's no baseball. But the one thing I wanted to draw your attention particularly to is that their fathers were different back then. Fathers had total control over their wives and over all of their children. They had total tyrannical, I would call it, control over their parents. They could decide, as father, they could decide whether their children lived or died. Now, if the child was born and the child was a little weak or ill or deformed in any way, sometimes the father would decide on his own authority to expose the child, meaning they would put the child outside. Sometimes they'd put it in the river and let the child drown. Sometimes they would bring it out into the woods and just leave it there. That's what a father could do. They would expose their children. This is the way one person put it. The Romans gave virtually full power to the father over his son. And what are the kind of things he could do to him? He could imprison him. He could scourge him. That was like the cat of nine tails until they bled. He could put him in chains. He could keep him at work in the fields. He could put him to death. And even if his son was a full-grown adult working in the government, his father could still have him put to death. That's the kind of total control that a father had over his children. And some of you teenagers think that a midnight curfew is rough. But there is a pattern here. Paul is speaking here to the children, and he's speaking to the children in the Roman culture. He's speaking to the children when they had no rights. Their father could do anything to them. But Paul, or God, through Paul, speaks directly to the children, to the weak, you could say, to those that other people wouldn't even speak to. And he sort of does the same thing here when he speaks of husbands and wives. He speaks to the wife first, to give them all the greater dignity. So he speaks directly to the children. The word of God, dear children, is for you. God himself has spoken to you. This isn't just for the adults. This is for you. God himself singles you out for his particular attention, and he speaks directly to you. And that's really what this sermon is about today. But what is the one thing that God speaks? You know, you can say a lot of things to children. What is the one thing that God summarizes the responsibilities, the obligation of a child? It is, children, obey your parents. He sort of distills everything that is required, because the Bible is a pretty big book, but he's focusing your attention on one command, and that is, children, obey your parents. Obey them all the time, not just once. Well, I did that last week once. It's have a continual life of obedience, of submission in love to your parents. Keep on obeying. In fact, one of the things I think that is required according to this commandment is you need to obey the first time you're told, you need to obey every time you're told, and you need to obey immediately. In fact, all those things are just another word or way of saying obey your parents. And then Paul in Colossians adds another thing. You are to obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, I don't think I have to explain exactly to the children what obedience is. You children, you know what obedience is. It's doing what you're told. It is doing it when you're told. It is sort of bending your will to do what your parents have commanded you to do. It is submitting your will and your desires to your parents. It is listening to them, but not just listening to them, but heeding them, taking their advice, receiving their commands. It is doing what you're told. But the thing is, Paul is after more than just mere obedience. Notice what he says in the text. You are to, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You are to please God by the way that you treat your parents. It is your obligation, if you love and honor and God, is to obey your parents, to obey them immediately. So he's really getting to the motives of the heart. Sometimes, have you obeyed your parents, but it really kind of annoyed you? Why did they tell me to do this? Why did they tell me to do this now? Couldn't somebody else have done this? Why do they persecute me all the time? My parents are always on my back. I'll do it. I'll obey, but I'm not going to like it. And I'm going to make sure that my parents know that I don't like it. Now, if you obey in that way, did you really obey? No, you didn't really obey. He's asking really for obedience from the heart. He's asking for sincere obedience. He's asking for the motives of the heart to be different. I'm doing this because I am pleasing God. When you grumble or when you complain or when you cry and when you whine, when you generally want to make your parents feel as badly as they just did you for giving this command, you're not really obeying. You're not really submitting to them in love. That doesn't please the Lord. And we are to obey our parents in such a way that it pleases the Lord. So Paul asks that you, in the Lord, obey your parents. That you please God by obeying your parents. That you, in the strength that God provides, obey your parents. Submit to them. Keep the fifth commandment. So what does that mean, to obey your parents in the Lord? Because you know God and you want to do the right thing, you should obey your parents. Because you love the Lord Jesus, you should obey your parents. This obedience is to be willing, it is to be joyful, and it is to be obedient. So you are to obey your parents in the Lord because you want to, and you're to do it with a happy heart. Now, joyful obedience is an incredibly beautiful thing. Self-willed disobedience is an incredibly ugly thing. We all tend to minimize our sin, to make it small. You know, your sin might be big, but my sin is small. My sin isn't that important. And I mean, Pastor, look at this. It's children, obey your parents. Nobody does that, right? Everybody disobeys this one. So we don't have to do that. I mean, so we try to make our sin small. All of us do. Even as children, we make it small. I disobey my parents every day. It can't be that big of a deal, can it? We try to excuse our sins. We try to make it understandable. In fact, our sin to us is always understandable. We always have a legitimate reason for it. It convinced us, it should convince others, right? That's why we sinned, because we convinced ourselves that it was okay. We convinced ourselves that it was small. It is not a small thing to disobey. Well, my parents are unreasonable. Doesn't that make sense? It's not a small sin to disobey. In fact, if you think about this, there are no small things, small sins against a great God. There are no small sins. They're all big sins. And this disobedience to parents is a big sin. One of the reasons I think that we don't enjoy the gospel more, one of the reasons that we don't rest in it more completely, one of the reasons is that we don't feel desperate for it. One of the reasons is because we don't think we're that bad of sinners, really. I mean, we just disobey our parents. It's not that big of a deal. Everybody does it. Let me just read you a few passages in Scripture where Paul is giving a catalog of just awful sins. And listen to these. Since then, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They were gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Disobedience to parents is in that list? It's in there with haughty and ruthless and inventors of evil and murder and strife? Disobedience to parents is in that list? Well, it can't be a small sin then, can it? Well, what happens to those who do these things? And though they did not know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things, and one of those things was disobedience to parents, those who practice such things deserve to die. That makes this sin a big sin, right? That makes all sin a big sin. In fact, every sin deserves the wrath and the curse of God. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we all need the gospel, because nobody obeys this way. So if you are disobedient to parents, you deserve to die. That's what that passage says. Here's another one. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. So what are we to do with such people? It says in the text, you are to avoid such people. So children, if you disobey your parents, you should be avoided and you deserve to die. That's what the scriptures say. That's how big the sin really is. That's how big every sin really is. Now, it's not just children who tend to minimize their sin, but every time we sin, we have a legitimate excuse in our own minds for it. Every one of us do. But next time you're tempted to sin, next time you're tempted to minimize your sin, even if it's some small sin like disobedience to parent, think of this. It cost the Savior His blood to pay for that sin. The Savior had to die for that sin that you are excusing, that you are minimizing. But then the scriptures go on and on in this way. To sin, to disobey God, is to be worthy of death. To be selfish, to be lazy, to be delaying obedience, or to give it only grudgingly is a great sin. It's not a little sin. It's not an excusable sin. Scriptures say, honor your father and mother. He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Wow. I'm reading scripture here, so don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'll read some more. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. Speaking evil of parents to be put to death? This is the fifth commandment. And that's what we have in the midst of our text, the fifth commandment. We're supposed to give God the honor that He's due, and we're supposed to give every relationship that we have the honor that they're due. That's the two halves of the commandment. But right in the middle is honor your father and mother. There are three assumptions, I suppose, that are made when we're speaking to children. First, children, you are old enough to understand this. This isn't just for the adults. You can understand sin. You can understand your willful disobedience at times. When you want to do your own thing so strongly, it doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what the promised punishments will be. I'm still going to sin because I delight in sin. You are old enough to understand yourself. You're old enough to understand sin. You're old enough to understand the good news of what God has done. You're old enough to understand the grace of God. But also this word children, it's probably true that you are old enough, or young enough rather, to still be in the home. That's who he's addressing. But you are also addressed as Christians, as Christian children almost. You are addressed as members of the covenant community. And therefore, I take it, children, you are old enough to repent and to believe the gospel. You are old enough to admit that you have a problem, that you sin, that you disobey, and that you deserve to die, and that the only solution for that death is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to repent and believe the gospel. Have you ever been told something by your parents, and then you asked, why? Why do I have to do that? And they said something profound like, "Because I told you." That one always bothered me as a kid. "Because I told you? That's not a reason. That's just raw authority." Sometimes they would say, after I questioned that, they would say, "If you don't do it, you're in trouble." And I always thought that was a very poor reason too, because a threat of punishment, you're going to force me to obey, you're going to twist my arm. That was, I always wanted, as a child, I always wanted a reason. Give me a reason. What I sometimes meant was, give me a reason that will convince me, which was impossible. But what I should have said was, I want a good reason. Just give me a good reason. Now, when God gives a command, He often gives reasons for it. So He condescends to our questions at times. And I think He gives reasons here for why children should obey their parents. When God gives a command, He often gives a reason. It is your Christian duty. That's one of the reasons, He says. God Himself asks you to do this. He says you are to obey your parents in the Lord. Then He says it is fitting, it is appropriate, it is proper, and even it is beneficial, for this is right, He says. This is right. This is good. This is what you should be doing. Then thirdly, He says, this is not merely a suggestion. This is the fifth commandment. You know, when I summarize for my people 10 rules, this is one of them. This is really important. So it is commanded. And fourthly, and maybe most importantly, it is rewarded. There is a reward for doing this. What does the text say? This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So He gives us motivations to obey our parents. First, it is part of your obedience to God is to obey your parents, to listen to what they have to say. This in the Lord, it modifies obey. We are to obey in the Lord because you are believers. You are to obey. It is not in the Lord, obey your Christian parents. That's not what the text means. It is obey in the Lord. As Christian children, you are to obey. As you are in the Lord, you must obey. It is part of your commitment to Christ. One of the ways that you honor God as children is to honor your parents. But then He says, it is right. There's a general sense in which obedience, children obeying their parents, is fitting. Fitting across every culture, but in every time. The Scriptures often calls us to this, I guess, common sense way of living. This general sense of what is fitting and appropriate. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Or, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly. Does not nature itself teach you? We are to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So, the natural world, the moral fabric of the universe, requires children to obey their parents. It is fitting, it is right, it is appropriate to do so. Now, some people say that it is right because it is commanded, and I actually favor that one, but you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. So right in what sense? Children are to obey their parents because the community standards demand it? Well, they might, but that's not the reason we do it. Well, the Old Testament demands it. It does. Does Jesus model it? Yes. How about the Christian community? Is it part of your Christian commitment? Yes. So there's all kinds of motivations to do this because it is right, but perhaps the overriding reason of all, the Lord of the universe commands you to do so. God requires this of you, children, to obey your parents. In fact, in one sense, the Word of God, the law of God, it is the only standard. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. His tongue speaks justice. Why? The law of the Lord is in his heart. His steps do not slip. He who keeps the law is a discerning son. But this is also a commandment from God. Honor your parents. Show high regard for, honor them, revere them, look up to them, admire them, appreciate them. Do you do that? Do you do that now? Do you appreciate your parents? Oh, but I've got kids of my own now. I've got my own family. You're still to honor your parents. Do you honor them? Do you look up to them? Do you have a genuine respect for your parents? And everyone will look back and say, well, yeah, I suppose. Some people have awful parents, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But if you have decent parents, do you honor them, and does it show Is it obvious that you honor them? Or is that just something that you think in your mind? I've known some 20-something people who, they're radically sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. They love Him, they praise Him, they read Him, they put blog posts on the internet. They're just radically sold out for Jesus Christ. But then they also loudly and publicly condemn their parents. I don't know how you can do both at the same time. You cannot honor God if you hate your parents. Because one of the things that God requires us is to obey and to honor our parents. I think for teenagers, for you, perhaps the greatest untapped resource in your world is your parents. There's probably no one on the planet that loves you more than your parents do. And they have a wealth of wisdom because of the mistakes that they've made in life. Don't tell them I told you that. But they've made all kinds of mistakes. And they, as parents, they want to protect you from the mistakes that they made or the mistakes that they've seen other people make. And they have a wealth of experience and wisdom, and they want to pour it into you. They want to protect you. So tap into your parents, even as teenagers. But even for those who are what I call double and triple teens, which means if you're 40 or 50, 60 like me, one of the greatest untapped wisdom sources for you is your parents still. So honor your parents. Even if you don't have to obey them anymore, you should honor them. One of the reasons that God gives is because this is the first commandments with a promise. Things will go well with you and you will live long. It's sort of like the promise that Spock always gave, live long and prosper. That's sort of what he's talking about here. If you obey your parents, you will live long and prosper. It is a quality of life and a quantity of life promise. And the original promise was given to the people of God as they were being formed as the family of God and they were walking through the wilderness. And they were given great promises upon obedience that they were to keep the laws of God. They were given great promises. They would live long and they would prosper in the land. And if you read your Old Testament history at all, you realize they didn't do a very good job of that. In fact, they did such a poor job, they got kicked out of the land. So let me ask you a question. Did the promise fail? Well, he promised all these great things. They would live long and prosper and remain in the land, and they got kicked out because they did so poorly. Did the promise fail? If I were to promise you, and I'm not doing this, to buy everyone here a milkshake at Sonic. All you got to do is show up Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I'm not going to tell you AM or PM, but Tuesday at 7 o'clock, show up at Sonic and I will get you a shake. And you don't show up. Did my promise fail? No, you didn't show up. The promise is still true. And God does give a promise here. But what kind of a promise? We often take these things and we lay hold upon them and say, this is a personal promise to me. And if I obey my parents, I'm going to live to 100 and have a great life and a huge retirement. That's what this promise means. Doesn't quite mean that. Let's see if I can explain this. This live long and prosper if you obey your parents is a general promise. It is statistically accurate. Let me give you a couple other statistically accurate promises. If you exercise and eat right, you will be happy, you will be healthy, and you'll be full of energy. If you are a couch potato, eat chips and dip for breakfast, and your idea of lifting weights is a jug of chocolate milk, you will be unhappy and unhealthy and lacking in energy. Those are general truths, right? That's what your tendency will be. Let me read this from another pastor here. The fact is that people who grow up in happy homes, who learn to obey cheerfully, whose characters are formed by love and discipline, do, as a rule, live happy lives, happier than the lives of those who grow up with a rebellious and a dissatisfied spirit. God has made us and the world that way. And it is true, as a principle across the board, a young person who grows up learning the virtues of hard work will do better in life than the person who grows up lazy. The person who learns, while young, to moderate his or her appetites does better in life than the one who is a slave to those appetites. The person who has not, by the discipline given him in his upbringing, learned self-control is much less likely to live a long and a happy life as the one who can say no to himself. That is true with respect to such things as drink and drugs and sex, but it is also true with respect to such things as money and relationships. It is not a difficult thing to look about the world and to see in how many ways it is obviously true that, as the Bible says, the way of transgressors is hard, and in keeping the commandments of God there is great reward. So as a general rule, obeying your parents will teach you what is necessary for you to live a long and a happy life. So children, you are to honor and you are to obey and you are to respect your parents. You are to hold them in high esteem. You are to reverence them. This is actually a good sermon for Father's Day, isn't it? You are to honor your parents. It says, by the way, parents too. It doesn't just say father. So you should be nice to your mom too. When they do ask you to do something, you should say, yes, mom, and do it. And yes, dad, and do it. Do it immediately and do it without complaining. Oh, mom, but I was doing this. You should find joy in obedience because you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes when your parents ask you to do something, you're not going to want to do it. I'm playing with dolls, or I'm still watching my show, whatever it might be. The game isn't over yet, mom. Can I just wait a few more minutes? I suppose it is in those times when it is especially difficult, but is also especially honoring to obey your parents. Just to turn off the television, put the dolls down and do what they say. That's how you honor and obey them. One of the keys to life is to learn to say no to yourself. Learn to say no to yourself. And learn to say yes to your parents and learn to say yes to God. It will be a test of wills at times. And some of you young ones have very strong wills. Are you learning to put it under control and to submit it to your parents? Teenagers, you are to honor and to respect and to obey your parents still. But I know more than my parents do. No, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. And no one else submits to their parents as well as you do, you think. But no one else loves you more than your parents. Listen to them. But again, some of you have had lousy parents. And it even grieves you to think of them. Some of you were abused and neglected and mistreated by your parents. But your Heavenly Father has never mistreated you. He's never mistreated you. So you are to obey Him. So now what about if you're 20-something? You're still to honor and respect and obey your parents, even in the hard things. Even when you do not agree, even when you would prefer something else. You're to talk to them when they call. You're to return their texts. You're to listen to their advice and even to obey their commands. But when you're married, a whole new family starts and a whole new decision-making unit begins. You are to leave and to cleave to your new wife. And you're not to obey in the same sense as you did before. But you who are parents, you're still somebody's children, and you are to honor them. In fact, if I could be so bold to speak to the double or triple teens for a minute, it angers God when you don't take care of your parents. This is from Mark chapter 7. So this is Jesus mocking those who are trying to use the law to get out of honoring their parents. You are experts in setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is given to God. And you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. And you do many such things as that. What is he talking about? He's talking about parents who have a need and children who have money, and they decide to give it to the church instead of giving it to their parents. They decide to not help their parents. And Paul goes on to say, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If I can give you a brief, rough application for you double or triple teens, you are to care for your parents in their old age. It is a Christian obligation. You're to do so even if it costs you something. But children, I can go back to speaking of the real children. You are to obey your parents. And hopefully you are old enough to realize that you don't always do that. You don't always obey your parents right. You don't always do it willingly. You don't always do it cheerfully. You have lived long enough, I take it, to know that you aren't perfect. To know that you do things that you even know are wrong. You have sinned. And your sin, however small you think of it, is really a big deal. But Jesus was the perfect child. He always obeyed. And you, even as a child, you can believe the gospel. Well, don't I have to be older? No. You can believe it now. You fail at times. You fail your parents at times. You sin. We all sin. And we all deserve to die. But there is one child who never failed. Jesus obeyed his father in everything. And his father asked him to do something that was unfair. His father asked him to do something that wasn't earned or deserved by Jesus. He says, Jesus, my son, I love you. I want you to lay down your life for others. I want you to take upon your shoulders the sin of the world. And I want you to experience hell itself so that you can deliver other children. And Jesus did it. I want you, Jesus, or God told him, to taste death for every man, to experience hell on the cross, even though you have never sinned. And Jesus obeyed. In one sense, you could say, children, obey your parents. That is how Jesus earned our salvation. He obeyed his parents. He obeyed his dad. He went to the cross and he paid for our sin. And Jesus knew it wasn't a little thing. It was a big thing. He paid for it all. And really what the gospel is, and this comes to all of the children and all of the twice or three time teens to believe the gospel. You haven't obeyed well enough. You aren't perfect. You haven't obeyed your parents. You haven't obeyed your Heavenly Father. You have sinned, and there is only one solution for sin, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His blood is given freely to all who ask for it. So I could, at the end of the sermon here, talk to children and to all the others and say, repent and believe the gospel. I could ask you, I could beg you, I could plead with you, but I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to command you to. As if God Himself were commanding you, you must repent and believe the gospel. And you must do it now. You don't have to wait for some other time, some other place, some other reason. There is no greater reason. You have a need and He is the only Savior. And God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. It doesn't just mean men, it means children. He commands you as a child today to admit your sins and to cling to the Savior, to cling to the promise of God and the gospel. Now, I'm one of those twice or three times teens already, and I've never grown past the gospel. You never get past it. The love of God in Christ for me. In fact, when I first repented and believed, I didn't have as many sins as I do now. And it's still the same word. It's still the same freedom. It is still the same forgiveness to believe the gospel promise. So I urge you, but I also command you, even as children, to repent of your sins and to believe the gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus was perfect, that He obeyed His Father in everything. And through His obedience, we have salvation. And through His obedience, we also have the power to obey. We can begin to walk in newness of life because of Your Word, because of Your Spirit that is within us. For Lord, all of our obedience really flows from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of His Spirit within us. So Lord, we do ask that You would send forth Your Spirit to us, that we would not only repent and believe the gospel, but that we would live it out. That we would begin to keep the law of God that leads to such great reward. So be with our children, Lord, that they would obey, but above all, that they would obey the gospel command to repent and believe. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.